Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, what is in this room with us right now?
Pure, sweet oxygen. Not pure, actually. Yeah. But a little oxygen in there.
There's oxygen in there.
There's some nitrogen.
Because we are breathing and we are alive right now. And we're not concerned about running out because the room is relatively well ventilated. I mean, they had to cover up most of the ventilation with soundproofing, but right. I think there's a little air is getting in, just enough. As long as we don't go 3 or 4 hours in here, we'll probably not die.
Which is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
And typically, we don't go 3 or 4 hours in here anyway.
No, one podcast followed by a second, like 2 hours max.
Yeah.
If we go over, maybe we could punch in a little bit towards that 3 hour point, but there's still plenty of oxygen. That's my point.
And that's the main concern here, and that's what we're talking about today. Oxygen, how did it get here and into us? How can we manipulate it? Because that's always a question, right? Like, this is so cool. How can we use it for our own gain? And of course, we're going to explore, as you already sort of alluded to, one of those tropes in films, like, oh, there's not enough oxygen. In 30 seconds, we're going to run out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially in your space movies, your underwater movies, that's always an important trope. I mean, because the core idea here is that humans have evolved to live in a very particular portion of our atmosphere.
Right.
And if you start going too high, you start going too low. If you move outside of that atmosphere and into an underwater environment or out into orbit, then you have to bring a portion of your actual atmosphere with you in some sort of pressurized container or at least an air mask. I was recently looking into Winston Churchill, and during the Second World War, they developed this egg for him to recline in and smoke in and read in. A big pressurized egg, because the planes that they were depending on, they were not pressurized.
Okay.
So you would have to wear an air mask to go at a high altitude, and you would need to be at a high altitude, to be safe in a war-torn world. But sadly, they never actually used this egg. But it's just another example. Like, you want Winston Churchill up there, out of a comfortable area of the atmosphere, well, then you have to have an egg of atmosphere for Winston Churchill to take with him.
So this was this idea, like, if everything went to crap with the war, how do we save Winston Churchill?
Well, it was just more like, how do we fly him around at a high altitude and keep him comfortable and safe? And it just turned out that it was too large to fit in the airplane, and then it was too heavy to fit in the airplane after that. I have a blog post on it. You can go check it out.
And then there's all that cigar smoke.
Oh, yeah, and he was going to smoke in it, too.
Yeah.
That was a core design principle there.
Well, we have been trying to, take oxygen into our own hands for a long time. And I would say this is something that was pretty popular, I don't know, maybe in the early 2000s, oxygen bars.
I've heard a lot about these, and now I've read a little bit, but I've never seen one. I've never visited one. I remember hearing stuff about how Michael Jackson supposedly slept in an oxygen tent, and I guess that's partially related.
Like a hyperbaric one?
I think so. But again, this may be complete hearsay, and I don't want to tarnish the man's good name.
Sure. All right. So there is this idea that there's a purity in this oxygen, right? If you just get more of it, then maybe you could think clearer. And so that's what these oxygen bars were trying to sell to people. Like, sit down and have a 20-minute huff of some of this oxygen. Like, I don't think the concentration was like 40%.
Compared to the 21% that we normally get.
Yes. Yeah. But the thing is, you're not really getting anything out of it, right?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of there are certain vitamins, of course, that you can, I mean, some vitamins you can have a toxic reaction to, but other vitamins, if you take over the recommended amount, you're just going to pee it out anyway. I mean, your body has evolved to deal with certain levels of intake, and if you exceed some of those levels, if it doesn't hurt you, then it's not really going to do you any good.
Right, because as you said, 21%. That's what we're sort of molded for.
That's what we crawled out of the muck and evolved to deal with. So yeah, if you have something tremendously stronger, then you start, it's not going to really pay off.
Right. Because at that level, at 21%, the blood is almost completely, and we're talking about 99% saturated. Mm-hmm. So that means there's really no need for more oxygen.
Now, of course, in hospital environments, you'll sometimes see 100% oxygen administered for a very short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to be careful with that because that can result in various health problems in some individuals if there's prolonged use. So again, it underlines the fact that we've evolved to deal with 21%, and going higher doesn't help, and it could conceivably hurt in some situations.
Yeah. And if you're wondering, like, why is oxygen really important in the first place? Well, we should celebrate it at all times, really, because it's one of the reasons why life here on Earth exists in the first place.
That's right. If you travel back far enough in time, you will encounter a very different world than we have now.
Yeah, because if you think about it, for the first 2 billion years of Earth's existence, we're talking about this mottled, volcano-pocked planet, it had little oxygen, about 0.0001% of current levels. But then, about 2.3 billion years ago, there was a really big change. And this change had a lot to do with photosynthesizing bacteria, which began to create oxygen. And Elizabeth Barber, writing for the Christian Science Monitor, had this great description. She says, "It was, so far as we know, a moment unlike any other in the universe. While Mars, just 60 million years older than Earth, browned and reddened, Earth was furnished in greens and blues, and later in all the brilliant colors that decorate its planet and animals and all the protists in between. The modern Earth owes about 85% of its oxygen to phytoplankton, beginning with a cyanobacteria, blue-green algae, that first quilted the planet those billions of years ago." I love that. Quilted the planet with this blue-green algae.
Yeah, I love that description. It's interesting. I was reading around different accounts of the great oxidation event, and Phil Plait of Bad Astronomy, in his write-up on this, he actually framed it more as this as really a mass extinction event of one species like really kicking it into high gear to the detriment of most of the other life forms. Because before this guy hit the scene, we're talking about the cyanobacteria, not Phil Plait. you had a world of simple bacteria, you know, mostly in the ocean, and these bacteria just sort of doing their thing, and then one superstar kicks it up and begins to change the environment, to change the atmosphere, ultimately change the climate as well.
Yeah, and what I think is so interesting about that cyanobacteria is not only did it contribute to the creation of diurnal and nocturnal patterns, which we talked about in our last episode, I believe it was called The Dark. As you say, it completely changed the profile of life and the oxygen profile. And in turn, in doing that, it helped to create multicellular life, which then would turn around and munch on the cyanobacteria and say, thanks a lot for all the oxygen and creating us. Yeah. I think we're going to feast upon you.
I mean, it's kind of like a horse race, right? Where everything's kind of running neck and neck. And then one of the horses just really starts running ahead of the pack. And it's clear that this is going to be the winner. And in this case, the winner is going to be the initial model for everything that comes afterwards.
Yeah. So you have, photosynthetic life forms are dominating here. And mm-hmm. the interesting thing about this is you kind of travel back in deep time and you think about this. And the interesting question becomes, well, did it happen just in little pockets around the Earth, or did it just sort of spread willy-nilly? And we can't answer that, of course, right now. But it's interesting to even think that this huge sea change was happening.
Yeah, there was a 2013 paper published in Nature that actually suggested that the Earth's atmosphere was already somewhat oxygenated.
Mm-hmm.
Not oxygen rich or anything, but there was already a certain amount of oxygenation going on about 3 billion years ago. And so that would revise the timeline somewhat, kind of insert a 600 million year transition point.
Yeah. And I think transition is key, right?
Yeah.
Because that's not when the sea change happened. It just sort of like it was round in pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at that study, it's researchers at the University of Southern Denmark. They actually analyzed a pair of 2.92 to 2.96 billion year old rocks for evidence of oxidation. And lo and behold, they found it. So that's how we know that it was lurking,
yes,
shall we say.
So fast forward to the present. We live in this world that has plenty of oxygen. And we all have sort of the grade school science understanding of how it happens. I think we can all picture that a diagram, a little illustration.
Yeah.
It always looks like it's all going down, like, just at your local neighborhood park.
Sure. And then you see that, you see the human breathing out
mm-hmm.
the CO2. And then the human breathing in the oxygen that plants and trees create. And so this idea is that if we live in this treeless world, this shrubless world, we wouldn't have any oxygen. And that's partly true, but it's not the whole story.
Indeed, because we can really lay most of the credit at the feet, if they had feet, of the phytoplankton. These are single-cell plants that live at the ocean's surface. They only need two things for photosynthesis, and that is energy from the sun, nutrients from the water. And they're actually responsible for producing half the world's oxygen, half of it.
Yeah, so it really recasts your idea of, I think, how the atmosphere is formed, because we tend to think more land-based. But, of course, mm-hmm. the more and more we learn about the ocean, the more we understand how much it is informing our atmosphere and how that changeability of
yes.
the ocean can really cause some very drastic changes.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at this and when you look at just models for global climate in general, we really live on a water world, and the way that water behaves is tremendously important in our various systems, be it the creation of oxygen or be it our weather patterns.
Yeah, and we could dive deep into the ocean and have an entire episode on this, and we perhaps will later. I know that we have covered it before, and we've talked about this idea of dragging the ocean, really disturbing the life forms. There is completely sort of a stab in the dark by humans not realizing that there are entire ecosystems that we're disturbing that
mm-hmm.
that actually affect us landlubbers. So, all right, you guys, put that in your pipe and smoke it, because we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about binding and storing oxygen, like oxygen ninjas.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance. Helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM. Let's create.
Father's Day is coming, a day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us. To crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, it's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. $50 off now until Father's Day. Visit bartesian.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
All right, we're back. We've been talking about the origins of oxygen, the importance of oxygen, where oxygen is coming from in the world that we experience every day. But now we're going to get a little high tech because, you know how humans are. We can't help but hack into everything. We hack into our bodies. We hack into, the world around us. And of course we also hack into, digital infrastructures of our own creation. But we can't help but tinker and try to figure out how to manipulate things a little more in our favor. And of course, we've done that with oxygen as well, particularly in this case with the binding and storing of oxygen.
Yeah, I like to think about this as a couple of scientists sitting around, perhaps on the rooftop of their building one night, mm-hmm. saying, wouldn't it be cool if we could just, like, suck all the oxygen out of the room? And then they're like, yeah, we could do that.
We could literally do that.
We could literally do that. And it turns out that researchers at the University of Southern Denmark had that kind of stoner moment. They synthesized a crystalline material that absorbs and stores oxygen in large quantities. As you say, it can be used to bind, store, and transport oxygen like a dense artificial hemoglobin. I love that idea that you just have your own portable hemoglobin.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that you have this material that works like a biological system that's capable of just sucking all this oxygen out of the room. And I have a feeling that a lot of you have probably caught some of at least the headlines that have made their way regarding this, because people really latched onto that sucks all the oxygen out of the room, because it's an amazing stat. But of course, it can't help but stir our imaginations. We can't help but imagine somebody, say, pulling this out at a dinner party, and then all the air in the room just rushes into this material.
Thanksgiving? I don't think so.
Yeah. Conversation starts getting a little uncomfortable. You just whip it out and takes the breath literally out of everyone's face.
Yeah, and I think this was exacerbated because when it was first put out in the media, it was something like, oh, a spoonful of this stuff will suck out all the oxygen in room. In fact, a 10-liter bucket of the solid material would be enough to store all the oxygen in a room. And we're talking about a few grains could contain enough oxygen in a single breath. Now, once trapped, this oxygen can be stored until the material is heated gently to release the oxygen. And the cool thing about this is that it can absorb and release oxygen a whole lot, like many different times without losing its ability. And this is according to Christine McKenzie. She's a physics professor at the University of Southern Denmark. She said, it's like dipping a sponge in water, squeezing the water out of it, and repeating the process over and over again.
Yes, she pointed out the material is both a sensor and a container for the oxygen. It can be used to bind, to store, to transport. So, I mean, you can really, the mind can run wild with the various potential uses for this. The most obvious one, of course, would be for any kind of environment where you needed to take oxygen with you, be it diving, traveling into space.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, also it would have tremendous potential for use in automobiles that use fuel cells and need a regulated oxygen supply. So, it's again, when you think about the fact that we live in such an oxygen-dependent world and we have oxygen-dependent lives, there's tremendous application for this technology.
Yeah. Now, the key component of the material is cobalt because it's bound in a specifically designed organic molecule. And again, this is from McKenzie. She says that cobalt gives the material precisely the molecular electronic structure that enables it to absorb oxygen from its surroundings. And she said the mechanism is well known from all breathing creatures on Earth. Humans and many other species use iron, while other animals like crabs and spiders use copper. She said small amounts of metals are essential for the absorption of oxygen. So actually, it's not entirely surprising to see this effect in our new material. So here again is another example of biomimicry, right?
Right. Yeah, and indeed, that's one of the tremendous things about this material is that it's a material that when we manipulate it a little bit, it can actually replicate some of the processes that go on inside the human body.
Yeah, now McKenzie and her team are researching whether light can trigger oxygen's release from the material, which would be halfway to artificial photosynthesis. Again, the implication of this is pretty widespread, and especially when you're thinking about terraforming.
Yes.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance. Helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM. Let's create.
Father's Day is coming, a day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us. To crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, it's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. $50 off now until Father's Day. Visit bartesian.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
So in this, we get into the quest to create a material that is essentially an artificial leaf.
Mm-hmm.
Not in that it looks like a leaf necessarily, but that it can carry out photosynthesis. And so in this, we turn to the Royal College of Art, where Julian Malicori has developed a photosynthetic material that allegedly lives and breathes just like a leaf. It absorbs carbon dioxide and water and releases oxygen. And it works by suspending chloroplast. These are the part of the plant where photosynthesis actually happens, in a material made from silk protein.
Yeah, Malicori envisions the facades of buildings and lampshades covered in this photosynthetic material, and it would essentially exhale fresh air for us. I love these sort of utopian, futuristic technologies.
Yeah. Yeah, you can imagine somebody's kind of waxing poetic about it. In the future, the lamp will not only illuminate the room, but it will breathe. The lamp is a living thing and deserving of our respect. It is our cohabitator.
That's your utopian voice?
Yeah.
I like it.
That's my utopian voice.
Of course, the other implication of this, again, is, hey, you know, we know that we can grow plants in zero gravity, but a material like this could produce oxygen with less management and time and effort required for growing plants. So, again, terraforming off planet.
You know, and it's kind of scary in a way, because it's like saying, oh, well, we don't necessarily need the plants to get what we need, right? Maybe it just ends up with a situation like in Silent Running, where they end up deciding to just blow up all the gardens that they have in space. They don't need them anymore. Maybe that's why they didn't need them anymore, because they had it. They developed a technology like this that they could run on Earth and just build all the plants they wanted.
It's
plastic
funny.
Trees, if you will.
It's funny how technology like this makes the movie WALL-E even more relevant, this idea that we will be on this generation ship or generational ship and looking back at like this specimen of a plant and all this footage of growing things.
Now, it's worth noting that both of these examples, both of these toads we've talked about, I mean, these are early goings with these materials.
Yeah.
They're not being manufactured yet. You're not going to be buying them even at Sharper Image in the next few months. But they show tremendous potential, and it really helps us get a better idea of where we're headed in the future.
Well, and you know, you can sit here and think about, oh, it could, you know, maybe it could even help with our Earth's atmosphere if things got out of whack, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could create some sort of balance there.
Yeah, not a replacement by any means. I was being a bit hyperbolic with all that, but in terms of just sort of tweaking things a little bit more in our favor.
Yeah, and then, you know, emergency room medicine and space exploration, it has really some great ideas tagging along with it. And then, of course, you have more of the dystopian
right.
negative view, and this is where things get probably much more fictional and dark, and you start thinking, but then perhaps the world takes a turn and there is no ability to restore balance, and you know, the oxygen is poorly saturated throughout, and it becomes a question of the oxygen haves and the oxygen have nots.
I love that. That's a tremendous vision of the future, where just the oxygen you breathe that we take for granted now is no longer free. And of course, I can't help but think of like a potential like cinematic layout where you know, guy walks into a bank, puts on a gas mask, and whips out his bucket of material and sucks all the oxygen in, and then he runs off with the money. Or you know, it's easy to run wild with those scenarios as well. But where I see the real potential for possible weaponization of this kind of thing is not so much a like an oxygen sucking device. But it makes me think, you know, what else is possible with metamaterials in the future? Could we create one that that generates a toxic chemical compound instead of just creating oxygen? I don't know, but it makes me wonder. What is possible?
Yeah, this is the interesting dark territory. Yeah. So does it enter into bioterrorism, I think is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Could if we can create a material that traps oxygen, if we can create a material that acts like a leaf, you know, what's to say that in the future we can't create materials capable of other chemical transitions?
Yeah. Good questions here. You know what I'm going to throw in here? Just because that's a bit depressing.
What's that?
The question about how baby birds breathe inside an egg. I came across this during our research. Because you know how you can kind of go down that sort of research vortex?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, I don't. That's not really relevant, but that's quite interesting.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever thought about that. Well, what's the answer?
Well, the folks at Mental Floss did, and they have an article on it. And it says, like, you know, obviously we know that when we're babies, we have the luxury of an umbilical cord to give us oxygen. But baby birds, well, they have to sit inside of that egg. And it turns out that when the eggs are laid by the mother, they're really warm. And as they cool, the material inside the egg shrinks a little bit. And the two membranes, they pull apart a little and create a small pocket or sac of air. And then as the developing bird grows, it breathes in oxygen from the air sac and it exhales carbon dioxide. And there are several thousand microscopic pores all over the surface of the egg, and this allows that CO2 to escape and fresh air to get in.
Well, that's beautiful. I never even thought about that.
Right. I mean, talk about a portable atmosphere.
Yeah, and it brings us right back again to the egg, from Churchill's egg to the egg of your common bird.
That's right. Here we go. 360.
Yeah. All right, well, there you have it, a little crash course in oxygen, where it comes from, what we do with it, and what we're trying to do with it with some cutting-edge technology. Hey, why don't you check out our website? Go over to stufftoblowyourmind.com. That is where you'll find all of our podcast episodes way back to the very beginning, just hundreds and hundreds of podcast episodes. You can listen to a new one every day for over a year and counting. It's great stuff. Check it out. And we also have our videos, our podcast episodes, links out to social media accounts, pictures of what we look like, anything and everything. Find it right there.
And if you want to share your plots for a dystopian future, well, you can do that by sending us an email. And you can send it to blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Ever wolf down a Big Mac and thought, I need some extra cash?
Mm-hmm.
Then download the Drop app. Get rewarded for dining out and more. Use code DROP22 for $5 in points. Download Drop now.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.